Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. The National Capital Commission is in the process of renaming the Sir John A. Macdonald Parkway. In Ottawa, three City of Ottawa Council members proposed the name change in the spirit of reconciliation with Indigenous peoples because Macdonald had authorized the creation of residential schools when he served as Canada's first Prime Minister in the 1880s. The National Capital Commission announced this past Thursday the new name of the parkway will be Indigenous and the name will be made public on September the 30th. That's the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, of course. Chief Cadmus Delorme joins us. He's the chief of Cowessess First Nation in Saskatchewan and, of course, is at Cowessess in 2021. The ground radar discovered what are believed to be 751 unmarked graves at the site of the former Maraval Indian Residential School, which operated from 1899 to 1997. Chief Delorme, how are you today?
Good afternoon, Roy. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, good to have you with us. Just generically, what are your thoughts immediately on the renaming of the Sir John A. Macdonald Expressway in Ottawa?
Thank you, Roy. Reconciliation is here, and reconciliation only comes with uncomfortable conversations. And, you know, as proud Canadians, we're proud of being a G7 country, being a developed country, a country dreamers can build on. But we also inherited a past, both new Canadians, generational Canadians. And reconciliation can only come, Roy, once we first accept and understand the truth. And, you know, hopefully this direction will allow Canadians to discover the truth maybe they have not known before.
What are your thoughts on other roads, on buildings, universities, government agencies, and schools which are named after historical figures who have a past, which you just mentioned, which today is seen as racist, exclusionary, but at the time was not? What do we do about all of these places, Chief, that have been named after these historic Canadian figures?
Mm-hmm. Our country was built on a Western worldview perspective, which is great. I'm a very proud Canadian Saskatchewanian. I'm also a very proud Indigenous person. And the Western worldview, I got my master's degree. I got an undergrad. I go to Costco. I love the Western worldview, you know, that this country provides. But we have a missed opportunity of Indigenous worldview. And only till now, it's actually starting to really be welcomed in. The challenge is the pie isn't getting bigger. So where are we able to welcome in Indigenous worldview? If it's using more language of historic or contemporary and there are many Indigenous worldviews in this country, so we can't just paint the picture as one generic one. So I do believe the welcoming in, Roy, is going to help make this country even stronger than what it is today.
So in the First Nations communities, yours and others across Canada, when this kind of decision is made, like the one that's been made by the National Capital Commission, proposed by three Ottawa City Council members, does that resonate positively across the country with Indigenous people?
Roy, it sets us in the right direction. I'm going to read a quote just to kind of let the listeners understand why this statue or the name of Sir John A. Macdonald that we're talking about and other means it is statues. I'm not here to debate it. I'm here to educate. I want to read a really quick quote that Sir John A. Macdonald said in the House of Commons in 1879. When the school is on the reserve, the child lives with its parents who are savages. And though he may learn to read and write, his habits and training and mode of thought are Indian. He is simply a savage who can read and write. It has been strongly impressed upon myself as head of the department that Indian children should be withdrawn as much as possible from the parental influence. And the only way to do that would be to put them in central training industrial schools where they'll acquire the habits and modes and thought of white men. Roy, when there was quotes made like that in 1879 for the betterment of the country of that day, which they thought, today we have a loss of control in Indigenous communities, Indigenous nations, Indigenous people living in urban settings. We don't want pity. We don't want anybody to feel sorry for us. We just want to make sure that our worldview is respected. And so in the communities renaming and addressing wrongs and things that may have been right at one time, but we know are wrong today, is truly healing for the Indigenous nations and communities and people. But it's also Canada showing reconciliation, you know, is happening.
Yeah. When you read that quote, I was thinking, how did anybody accept that then? Really? I mean, how did anybody who was thinking and had an understanding of, greater understanding of people, how did anybody accept that? And I know they did because we saw what happened. But you go back and you wonder, and we can do this at different times in history, we can wonder why people did what they did and did so collectively. But when you read that, I just thought, how do you accept that? Even then, 1800s, no way.
Yeah, Roy, the Indian Act of 1876 had one purpose, to imprison the minds of Indigenous people. And the hope was that there would be no, Indigenous by 1930, and that the Indians, as it's termed in the Indian Act, would amalgamate and disappear into Canadian society. The residential school was to brainwash. And, you know, the language, the vertical lineage. And this is history, right? Like, we inherited this, but that's why reconciliation is so important today, because my six-year-old daughter wants to be raised and have dreams just like every other six-year-old daughter. But because my daughter's Indigenous, my wife and I have to try twice as hard today. So that's why it's so important that, you know, we understand these little wee nudge moves about renaming roads. There are bigger and more, you know, that lead to what reconciliation means to all of us as Canadians.
Yeah. We also, Chief, I think, really, again, just taking into consideration what you said in the last 2 or 3 minutes, is we need to do a far better job of teaching history in our schools, which we don't. There's no history curriculum in the school system, certainly the high school system, in a number of provinces. I think the last count, it was 5 or 6 provinces have no specific history, Canadian history curriculum, and it should be there. It has to be there.
It is the driver. You know, our education system is our driver of hope. It's delayed gratification, because what we teach today, our next generation are going to implement. And our schools are getting better. Like, there are provinces, I do believe, you know, there are provinces that are thinking about it, but don't have a mandatory Native studies or Indigenous studies. Higher learning institutions, universities, colleges, and trades are teaching more Indigenous. The challenge also to add on to that, Roy, is the baby boomer generation, Generation X and Generation Y. There's no mandatory Indigenous studies class coming to those generations. And sometimes we have already did our higher learning and our elementary school. So we also have to understand that the most important table of discussion in this country for reconciliation is our kitchen table. Are we asking the right question?
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.